This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
The University of Mpumalanga says it is aware of videos circulating on social media that accuse it of unfair labor practices. The university says it categorically denies this issue and the views these allegations are baseless. And they're saying that the misinformation campaign that is happening, as far as they're concerned, is extremely insensitive, uncultured, especially during this time when the Motseki family is still dealing with the grief of the loss of the late Dr. Mpho Motseki, who was attached to the institutions. Allegations making rounds allege that Dr. Motseki died from depression due to unfair labor practices imposed to her, and that the environment was toxic to her, that she was bullied to a point where she even ended up in hospital. It is said it is due to this background that there is a hashtag created in honor of Dr. Motseki by other academics, which says hashtag justice for Dr. Mpho. And one of the people that have been speaking on this issue, have been vocal around it, is Professor Khotatso Shai, who is a concerned academic and Motseki family spokesperson. Prof, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Chauke. Let me greet you and the listeners at home.
Good evening. Thank you very much for your time. Even as I read that intro, perhaps I've captured it, but let's hear it from you. What is the background of this issue?
Thank you so much for having us here. I think really it is very unfortunate that the University of Mpumalanga has made a decision to issue such a statement.
Mm.
Because the amount of evidence speaking to a case of unfair labor practice, it is irrefutable. Let's be realistic here, Ngamuda.
Mm.
An internationally renowned young female academic has passed away. I think, so we're talking about a matter that involves a death of a person.
Mm.
So for where I'm standing, I think instead of the university trying to spin the truth that is on the public domain, what the university ought to be doing was to really take the country into confidence and say, we have embarked on an investigation,
mm.
and we will update the country or all interested parties as and when new information suffices. But instead of doing that, the university goes out and say there is misinformation campaign, which is really very unfortunate. I'll give you an example.
Mm.
During the funeral of Dr. Mpho Motseki, there were two representatives of the union, Mpho, who are by their own right also employed at the University of Mpumalanga. And they shared all the evidence, like they narrated the development of events from the advertising of the position to the point where our late colleague passed away. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, is the spokesperson of the university suggesting that the two colleagues from the University of Mpumalanga, are they mad? On and above that, I must tell you that I'm one of the people who have had a privilege of regularly interacting with Dr. Mpho Motseki, even though I work at a different university. And we've got all the information that speaks to the whole question of workplace bullying. I've got an email, a screenshot of an email that suggests that actually even 2 days before she was discharged from a psychiatric hospital, there was her doctor was actually compelled to actually release her from the hospital because one of the members of the university threatened a salary cut on Dr. Mpho Motseki. But you see, this is a complex case, but let me limit myself to the whole issue of unfair labor practice. Why do we say this is an unfair labor practice?
Okay, as you do that, just give us the background. Assume we do not know what you're talking about. So assume we don't know when you say the truth. Assume we don't know the facts of that and we don't know what you're referring to.
Okay, it's fine. I think, let me begin by saying, as you have already indicated, the case at hand involves the late Dr. Mpho Motsepe, who was attached to the University of Mpumalanga as an NGAP lecturer. NGAP is what is normally called the New Generation of Academics Program, which was essentially initiated by the Department of Higher Education and Training in South Africa to prepare and groom the next generation of scholars. So the approach is that young people in South Africa, academically deserving, possessing a master's degree, with a potential to become academics, they are identified, hired for a period of 6 years at the university. Normally what happens in terms of process is that for the first 3 years, the salary will all of their salary will come from DHET, which is the Department of Higher Education Training. The remaining 3 years, 50% of the salary will come from the university and 50% from the government, which is DHET. And the expectation is that at the completion of the program, the NGAP lecturer should be absorbed by the university that is responsible.
Mm.
So why? Why are we here? Why did Mpho suffer from depression that ultimately resulted in the loss of her death? It is because there are other NGAP lecturers at that university who have been serving, who have served, they've obtained their PhDs, they've served their 4 or 5 years and all that, but they have never been absorbed. And when you are an NGAP lecturer in that institution, it would appear that you are not eligible for different forms of promotion to a senior lecturer and other things. So the reason why Dr. Mpho applied for a vacancy position that existed, even though she was an NGAP lecturer, it is because she understood that, and she saw it with those who came before her, that they will never absorb. And also permanent status in terms of Kenya Ngamula is not automatic. Even at the completion of your program, the university still have to confirm you.
Mm.
But you see, the reason why we're talking about unfair labor practice, inconsistencies in terms of the implementation of institutional and national policies, is because of the following. Look at this. The people who came before Mpho are not yet absorbed into the system. Why do they now, after Mpho has died, suggest that they wanted to absorb her? Unfortunately, she died. Let me explain to you. It is because they wanted to use her absorption, to address a grievance about unfair labor practice that existed.
Mm.
The university must come out, tell us that they, in the existing vacancy position, where Mpho was not shortlisted and where Mpho met full requirements, they've appointed someone who did not meet the minimum requirements. In fact, colleagues have gone on record, those who are privy to the situation, to say the person who was ultimately hired was not even shortlisted during the shortlisting meeting. But a miracle happened that night that she became the member of the interview panel. I mean, she was shortlisted she was not shortlisted, but she appeared during the day of the interview. These are the issues that the University of Mpumalanga should get out and take the country into confidence about.
Okay.
I want to say, life of a person is gone here. The university should not spin the truth. What we need to do, we need to shift away from blame game and take accountability where it is necessary.
Mm.
I think that the Motsepe family deserves to know the truth. The truth.
Okay, so someone,
the process requires honesty.
Someone listening to me and you will still have a few dots to connect, and please help us here. So, as you said, that she was admitted at a psychiatric hospital. There was threats to discontinuing or not paying a salary, to insist that the doctor discharges her. And I've read in the statement that she had depression. So her, and I know it's a sensitive matter, but it helps us understand depression, work challenges, unfair labor practice, and how they connect. How do they connect? How did she pass?
Let me take you into confidence. You see, what happened is that some of the members of the public will be aware. Dr. Mpho had a history of, you know, bereavement trauma. Like in her family, they've been, you know, having funerals. She does not have parents.
Mm.
She has been losing parents, siblings, within an interval of almost every 2 years. So naturally, she has always been a fragile person. So what triggered the panic attacks. It was an incessant stress emanating from the fact that she overqualified for a junior position of a lecturer, but she was not shortlisted. And she tried to resolve the issue on her own. It did not work out. She then involved the union. As I'm talking to you, Ngamula, I'm reliably informed that at the time of Mpho's death, the CCMA in Mbombela had issued a certificate of non-resolution, which means that there was a deadlock. The union representatives of Dr. Mpho Motsoaledi and the university could not reach a consensus. And these are the issues that we are not being taught. So what ultimately happened, remember, when you do not have a family, in the case of Dr. Mpho, it means she was naturally vulnerable because she does not have a family structure. When she thinks she's bullied at work, where you are just not shortlisted and all that. Because I must tell you something that I had actually forgot to mention. Mpho is the founding member. She founded the Department of Communication Studies at the University of Mpumalanga. And you will imagine that you start something, you develop modules, and after a period of 5 years, people have to tell you, they want to make you believe that you don't qualify for this position and all that. So ultimately, because of that endless stress, she was admitted at MK Hospital. She's essentially a psychiatric hospital. She stayed at the psychiatric hospital for a period of at least 4 weeks. Right?
Right.
And when she was approaching a fifth week, she then gets an email to say, look, you need to fill in a leave form, and sick leave is for a period of 2 months. That 2 months had not yet lapsed. But I'm saying here in Ngamula, who fills a sick leave application form while she's on a hospital's bed? Something wrong with our management. People who are leading, it appears, they are not empathetic, because in all institutions where we work, we can only fill up leave application forms when we return from work.
Okay.
And so essentially what happened shortly after that threat of a salary cut, Mpho was discharged from the psychiatric hospital. She stayed at her place for 2 days. She got attacks again, and she had to be rushed back to the hospital, where, unfortunately, she lost her life. What I'm saying is, it will appear that medical doctors were pressured to release Mpho because of the pressure from the university. This is really, really very unfortunate. But the approach that I want us to take, because we can't squabble and fight forever, it's a reconciliatory approach. We need accountability. We must account for injustices at the workplace, involving unfair labor practice, involving workplace bullies, in such a way that inspire confidence among the members of the South African academia and the country at large.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That is Professor Hotatso Shai, who is an academic and also a family spokesperson. Let's stay on this issue. We're speaking to Mr. Tlangelani Obisi, who is the Director of Stakeholder Liaison and Communication at the University of Mpumalanga. Mr. Obisi, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and thanks for the invitation.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. We're just speaking to Professor Hotatso Shai. Perhaps you caught the last part of that conversation. You were speaking for the family and also a concerned academic. There is the hashtag Justice for Dr. Mpho that is active around as well. The university has released a statement around this issue. What is the position of the university? What are the issues that the university seek to communicate to the public?
No, thanks a lot. Let me start by extending once more our condolences to the family and friends of the late Dr. Mpho Motsoaledi. She was a colleague. We worked with her very well. We released a statement in response to a misinformation campaign that is spearheaded by a colleague who's working in another university that talks to the circumstances around the demise of the late Dr. Mpho Motsoaledi. But we want to put it categorically that the campaign sought to mislead the public. We have facts with us, and if you may allow me just to give a background on the issue that they're talking about as unfair labor practice.
Yes.
Firstly, we must indicate that Dr. Motsoaledi joined the university as part of the NGAP program, which is an initiative that is spearheaded by government to ensure that you have a new generation of academics that will come in the university with a master's degree. They enter into a staff development program for about 6 years. And part of those requirements, you know, in that 6 years is that they should also complete their PhD. But at appointment, they're appointed permanently. And once they complete, they don't need to go through the normal recruitment process. What happens is that they transition and to be appointed as lecturers. So I think that's the context that we're dealing with. In the case, Dr. Motsoaledi completed her PhD last year, and the university made her aware that she has met the requirements to ensure that she can be transitioned. In a separate process, she had applied for a position of a lecturer in communication studies, and the appointment committee did not shortlist her. The reasons that they provided for not shortlisting her is because they understood that she's part of the NGAP program, that she's going to transition into becoming a lecturer. So it's two different, you know, processes. So that's the basis that she was not shortlisted. It was in no way discriminating her. Should we have shortlisted her? In fact, we would not have acted in good faith, because what would have happened is that the contract where the state has invested in her was going to be terminated. And when terminated, it would mean that she had to pay back some of the money, because government had made a 6-year investment in that. So I think we just wanted to bring into context, because sometimes people conflate the two processes.
As I was saying, I was speaking to Dr. Shai, Professor Shai. Yes. He said that there was an issue at CCMA.
Yes.
That was, was it finalized?
Look, the issue was taken to CCMA by the union at the University of Mpumalanga. To indicate that they're unhappy that Dr. Motsoaledi was not shortlisted. It went for conciliation on the 17th of March, and the commissioner issued the certificate of non-resolution. That matter is due for arbitration. And we will appreciate that kind of support, you know, that kind of approach, because when there's a dispute, that democratic institution that are established in the country, that if there's a dispute around labor practice, then the CCMA makes a determination. But it can't be that, you know, is, you know, another academic in another university who will make that determination. So we will participate in that process, and we're going to comply with the outcome of that process at the CCMA.
Okay, that of course speaks to the fact that there was still an issue that perhaps is unresolved. Were you aware as an institution of her being hospitalized in a psychiatric hospital, of her suffering a depression?
Look, I think I can indicate, and this is also the message that we were informed by the family, but because we worked with her, you know, some of us had personal conversations with her. We know that at one point, you know, she was unwell, and it's a known fact. But in terms of the admission, yes, we know that she was admitted in hospital for an extended period, and we can confirm that.
Okay. You said some of us work with her. I need to separate the some of us to the professional us, the institution. So the institution was aware.
The institution was fully aware that Dr. Motsoaledi was hospitalized.
Okay. Because the allegation was that somebody, whether it's HR, called there to say you should be filling your leave forms because you've been away from work for an extended period of time, which put pressure on her. She discharged, insisted on being discharged. And 2 days after she had been discharged, she had attacks.
Look, I cannot confirm, not deny that. But we have also looked at the process. In fact, the information that we have is not someone from HR. We were advised that the supervisor will have contacted her when she was in hospital, and immediately management intervened and told the supervisor that, you know, you can't be in a position to ask about work-related matters when someone is in hospital. So therefore, in relation as to whether HR contacted her or not, I cannot confirm and deny that.
That's fine, because you've cleared that the information we have was that the supervisor engaged her while she was hospitalized. The institution, when someone is suffering, is sick, is hospitalized, suffering from depression, what are the support systems within the university, within the institution?
Look, part of our policy as part of supporting our staff members, so by the time at employment in the university, is that, you know, there's a requirement of that all staff members should have medical aid. But beyond that, there's also a responsibility on the supervisor. So the people that, you know, you report to ensure the wellness of staff, but we also have, you know, wellness office at HR. So that's the kind of support system that we have. And I must indicate, Jauke, that, for instance, in the case that evidence was brought to us that the supervisor will have acted in a manner that is unacceptable, we're going to look at that matter.
Okay.
We're going to hold the person accountable, because that person is not representing the interests and the values of the university. In fact, in our view, we were hoping not to respond to these things, because we thought, look, the family is still grieving. We declare ourselves to be an African university. We do not want to be, you know, in radio debating around this issue, because it's a fresh issue. And so we're going to ensure that, based on evidence, not on hearsay, that is presented to us, we will, if there was a wrongdoing on the part of the supervisor, you know, our own code of conduct will be applied to ensure that, you know, definitely we hold people accountable.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Good evening to you.
Thank you.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.